I want to go to Genesis chapter number 1. I will quote a portion of a verse in the Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And I want to preach tonight on this subject, all in a day. All in a day. What I notice is in Genesis chapter number 1, that God created on 6 days. Now, my wife's still upset about that. She's a workaholic and said the one thing she's going to ask him is, why didn't he work on the seventh? I mean, look what all you did on the sixth. You might have been able to do some more on the seventh. But he worked 6 days. But I noticed within those days what he did, he said it was good. Said that was good, and he'd done it on the first day. He said that was good, and he'd done it on the second day. You can see it down through there, verse 4. God saw the light, that it was good. He said in verse 5, the evening and the morning was the first day. He said, this has been a good day. Don't you like that?
Amen. Yes.
This has been a good day.
Yes,
and then in verse number 10, God called the dry land, the earth, and the gathering of the waters of the seas, called the seas, and God saw that it was good. It was good. Saw that it was good. And if you look down in verse number 12, the earth brought forth grass and herbs and seeds after its kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. God saw it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. He also said that on the second day. I won't try to find it, but it's there. Trust me. Verse number 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. And then in verse number 21, and God created whales and every living creature that moveth, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 23, in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. He said, that's a good day. He said, so far I've worked on 4 days, 5 days. It's been good days. Anywhere God works, if you'll let him work, it'll be a good day. And God, in verse number 25, made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And he made man in his image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth. God created man. He blessed them. Verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I'm thinking about this matter of not only what God created, but the days that he made. All of the things that were made on the 6 days and then rested on the seventh are yet here today. But what I noticed is he created the days themselves. And that the 7 days that are here in creation are the 7 days that are here today. These were days that were brought into existence for all of time. And those days were brought into existence for mankind. And let us get personal with it and say that God made the days for you and me. He made a day for you. And He made a day for me. Matter of fact, there's a group of days that you've been able to experience that God specifically made. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you can go through it again. But what we understand is since creation in time, everything that's ever happened, happened on a day. It either happened on Monday, or it happened on Tuesday, or it happened on Wednesday, or it happened on Thursday, or it happened on Friday, or it happened on Saturday, or it happened on Sunday. If it didn't happen in those days, it didn't happen. The fact that it happened is connected to time that is divided up as God has divided it up in days. We're well aware of that. We use the little adages that refer to time in days. You ever hear somebody say, back in those days? Or somebody else say, man, I can't wait until payday. Or I have heard him say, I wouldn't give him the time of day. Yes. Or he was caught daydreaming. Or every woman has her bad hair day. Everything is connected in some way to a day. Everything is marked by day. Which leads me to ask you this question. If God Almighty would create time for you, divide it up in days that you could experience, what have you done with your days? Now, I don't know how many you've had. Man, I've been blessed. I counted mine up to the day I turned 70. Now, you can add the rest of them to it. In 70 years, I have had 840 months. Think about that. 3,650 weeks. 25,550 days. Woo! That's a lot of days, ain't it? 613,200 hours. 36,792 minutes. 22,007,527,000 seconds. That's a whole lot of time. If I never breathe another breath, God has given me a lot of days. And God has given me a lot of time. But He created these days for you and for me. But the question is, everything happens on a day. Something marks what happened in your life on a day. But what have you done with the days that God has given you? I want to emphasize five categories, I guess you would say, or I want to categorize these days in five ways as I find in Scripture and make application to your days. And to my, I am thankful for my days, my time that He has given me. But let me just lay these out. It all happens in a day. The first thing that I want to point out to you is in these verses that I read concerning the 6 days, it is evident that these are sovereign days. They would not exist unless God had created them and everything that is in them. He created the first day, and He will be the author of the last day of our lives. Now, you notice, if you read the creation story, that He made man last on the last day. I believe the reason why is because if He had made him on the first day, He'd been trying to tell him what to do in the other days. Because the handling of these days, the creating of these days, are sovereign days. And when He looked at them, what He had created, He said, "It is good." And in saying it, it was kind of like an artist painting a magnificent work of art. He steps back and he looks at it. He's not asking you to critique it. He's not asking you to pick up a brush and try to change something. But when he's finished with that painting, he's finished with it. He steps back and he looks at it, and he and himself, as God does, said, "That's good. It is a finished product." In other words, I don't want your hands on it. God in His creation created it so well that He did not need man's help. And there's some things that God has created He don't want you to mess with. In other words, it's good, just don't touch it. It is finished is basically what He said. I'll tell you something else, and there are a number of things. But when He hung on that cross and cried out, "It is finished," and our salvation, when He said it is finished, He don't need us to touch it. There's one way and one plan of salvation. It is a sovereign day. God has created these days, and God has controlled these days, and because of it, He said it is a good day. Now, let's make application right here. We've had the days that we've had in life, and if God allows us, we'll have another day, possibly tomorrow. But the only way your day can be a good day, you're going to have God to rule that day. He's going to have to be in charge of that day. He is the one that's going to have to do the administrating and creating and dictating of that day. What day? What day? I'm going to tell you, if you've ever had a good day, you've had to turn that day over to God, because you will mess it up. It will not be good. Oh, what He wants you to know is this day is a day I've made for you. Let me have that day. Let me work that day. Let me create in your life in that day. Give me control of that day in your life, and I promise you, you'll look back without regrets. Doesn't mean there won't be any storms in that day. Doesn't mean there will not be any hardships in that day. Doesn't mean there won't be any rain in that day or dark clouds in that day. But there will not be regrets in days that you've given to God and let Him have charge of it. It's His day, and that's the way we need to look at it. Every day is the Lord's day, that He has allowed us to live. And think about it. On this day, He has allowed us to live. But the only thing that is going to make that day good, to where you don't have to look back with regrets about how you handled that day, and say, "I want you to know God was in charge of everything in that day." It's a good day. I want to have, every how many days I have, I want to have good days. And the only way I can have good days is let Him have His way. He created the day. Why not give it to Him? Let Him have it. Let Him control it. It'll be a good day. many times have you looked back over your life and because of what you did on that day and because of what you touched and put your hands on that you knew that you shouldn't and you have regrets of that day. And you look back and say, well, that just wasn't a good day in my life. But oh, I'm going to tell you, your days may have been bad days up to this point, but tomorrow doesn't have to be. Give it to Him and you'll be able to close your eyes at the end of the day and say, God made this day. God created this day. God has been sovereign and in control of my life in this day. It's been a good day. He created all of those days. And He wants to control those days. I'm talking about it's all in a day. Has to be, because nothing can be done outside of a day. He didn't, and we can't either. But oh, let Him have that day, sovereign day. But then I go to the text that I quoted to you, looking at these days in segments. Psalm 118, verse 22 through 24, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now what the psalmist is talking about here is this matter of man's recognition of Christ as the heart of the day. You take that verse and go on over to Acts chapter 4. Peter said, be it known to you all, to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. It's speaking about Christ. That cornerstone is the stone by which everything else is measured. Everything else is set straight. You begin with Christ. And can I say to you that the only way that you can have the day, and I call this a special day, because here's the special day, not only the sovereign day when you let God take charge of a life, but the special day is when you let Christ be the center of your life. The day that you let Christ be your all and all. Then you not only have a good day, you have a glad day. You have a glad day. This is the Lord's day. He's talking about the Lord's day, the day in which Christ is set at the cornerstone. Now, of course, the world has rejected Him as the cornerstone, the beginning and the end. But you and I that are children of God, at one day, someday in your life, you turn to Christ and you said to Him, you are my all. And I'm going to tell you, on that day, it became a glad day. And every time you think of that day, you rejoice and be glad in it. That's why we call it the gospel. It's the good news and the glad news. We are amazed, we are astonished at what Christ can do when we let Him have the center of our hearts and our lives. When He becomes our all in all, when God is sovereign, it's a good day. When Jesus is special, it is a glad day. He's chief. He's ruler. He's everything. He is everything. I began by asking the question, I asked again, what have you done with your days? Does he control your day? God, and is Christ center in your day? If he is, it'll be a good day. And it'll be a glad day. Now, this is not our doing. All of this matter of the creating of these days and the possibilities of these days is what he has done. But he is giving us an opportunity to have a good day. I've had a good day. And I'm having a glad day. But the only reason why you can have a good day is he's in charge of that day and he's in the center of that day. You've not mixed that day up with your demands and your wants and your desires and your creations and your wants. But you've let him, you said, Lord, what do you want for this day for my life? Oh, that when we wake up in the morning, we wake up in prayer and say, this is a day in which the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. But the only way you can is you must allow him to be the center of that day. Let him be the cornerstone of that day. Let him be the creator of that day. Let him be the controller of that day, because it all happens in a day. What you going to do with the day? You don't have enough days to waste any of them. Make them good and glad. God will. He'll make them good. He'll make them glad. So we've got good days and glad days. But another day that I'm thinking about is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Where he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Here is what I call God's saving day. You know, when God saves, he always saves on a day. Everybody here that's saved got saved on a day. If you're here and you got saved on Monday, raise your hand. Well, we got one back there. Well, if you're saved on Tuesday, raise your hand. You're saved on Wednesday, raise your hand. Saved on Thursday, raise your hand. Saved on, ain't you glad God saves on Thursday? He made that day to save you. Said, I've created a Thursday. I didn't leave Thursday out. The reason why I didn't leave Thursday out is I wanted to save Macintosh on Thursday. We've got to have a Thursday for Macintosh. Got to have a Monday for Matt. Anybody saved on Friday? Look at there. He created a Friday for Daniel to get saved on. Ain't that amazing? That these days are so important to him. Do you realize that he created time because he wanted to save you out of time? On a day, this day, this day, this is the day. A work of salvation. I'm glad to report to you that I believe every day God saves somebody. Any old sinner that'll bow before him, confess his sin, he'll save him. And I believe the reason why he made every day is because he had somebody in mind he's going to save on that day. And it's hard telling how many people he saved on a Thursday. Did you notice what it said? Aren't you glad God made a day for you especially? So you could accept his son and be saved. Huh? I heard the end of time accepted in the day of salvation. my certainty. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What did he say to Zacchaeus? He said, this day has salvation come to this house. That thief hanging on that cross beside Jesus. And he said, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He said, this day thou shalt be with me. That old boy never knew that on that day a great wondrous and marvelous work of salvation was going to take place. He was going to be brought into the kingdom of heaven on that day. But, now I want to narrow this thing down. I'm talking about this matter of everything happens on a day. Everything. But did you know? I've mentioned the days that he created. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But did you know he only ever saves on one day? Now, understand what I'm saying? He only ever saves on one day. Matter of fact, I'm going to venture to say that if you weren't saved on the same day I was saved on, you weren't saved. You say, well, what day was that? Well, it wasn't necessarily Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's one of those days. But he said, today. You know when he saves? Today. His work of salvation cannot take place in the past, nor in the future. He made today to deal with your heart. He made today to give you... Listen to me. You may be here and you may be lost tonight. And I cannot... But what I want to tell you is, I have no authority in that book to offer you Christ or anything of Christ tomorrow. I can't offer you anything in Christ. I can't offer you salvation. I can't offer you heaven. I got nothing to offer you for tomorrow. Have I? But I want you to know one thing. Today, I can offer you everything in Christ. It's all yours. Sin forgiven. Name written down in heaven. A home in heaven. A child of God. Joy unspeakable. Peace that passeth all understanding. A love beyond that. I know that because I got it on a day. Now, there's no virtue in knowing a date. A lot of folks can't remember the date. That's not. What the importance is, but you better know there was a day. Where blessed assurance took hold in your heart. Because in these days there is that sovereign day of which it'll be a good day if you'll let him have control. It'll be a glad day if you'll let him be in the center of it. It'll be a gracious day if you'll just go ahead and give him your heart and your life right now. The accepted day to be saved. Now, I was thinking about all those days for my life, all those days for your life. But really, it don't take a whole day to get saved. Now, he'll give you a day to get saved in, but you don't need a whole day. Salvation will take place the moment you yield to Christ. Now, I had someone of a different religion tell me it took 6 months to get saved. I said, really? Well, they didn't even know what salvation was, really. I said, what about the thief on the cross? Oh, well, they didn't want to talk about that. Today's the day of salvation, but it ain't going to take you all day to get saved. I had a dear, precious, elderly lady tell me one day, she said, "Preacher, you know how long it takes to get saved?" I said, "Well, tell me." She said, "I was a young girl in grade school, and they had a protracted meeting. I lived in the country. Set up a tent and went on 2 weeks." And she said, "Every morning after prayer in the school, we'd walk a log across the creek to get to the camp meeting and listen to the preaching, and we'd walk a log and get back." And she said, "The first morning," said, "I walked the log with all the other kids and got over there," and said, the preacher got up preaching the gospel and preaching Christ and preaching salvation and preaching his love and forgiveness of my sin, and said, "I just got miserable. I was under conviction." And she said, "I walked back across that log, man, troubled. Went home that night, couldn't sleep, come back to school the next day," and she said, "They did the same thing. We had our devotions. We went across that log, went back over," and she said, "I felt worse than I did the other next day." And said, "The preaching just kept eating at my heart. I realized I was a sinner." Said, "I come back across the log, went back home that night, wrestled and turned, twisted." Said, "I got up the next morning, went to school," and said, "We went through the same routine," and said, "We went to cross that log, to go over to that meeting over there." She said, "I'm going to tell you how long it takes to be saved." She said, "When I stepped up on that log, I felt like if I'd have died, I went to hell. But when I stepped off the log, I felt like if I'd have died, I'd went to heaven." She said, "Somewhere in 8 foot of log, I got born again." Hallelujah. All it takes, he said, it is so simple. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." Just look. All you got to do is raise your eyes heavenward and cry out to him and be saved. Today is the day of, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today is the day of salvation. And aren't you glad for the day that he created in creation for you to get saved? Oh, I'm here to tell you a glad day that he gave us, a good day that he gave us, a gracious day that he gave us. And he made those days for us. And then I think about Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, that's a day that God created that Jesus said he didn't even tell him when he was going to do it. So I'm leery when somebody says they know when the Lord's coming, the day. I mean, if Jesus didn't know the day, I don't even want to try to know the day. But I want you to know he's coming on a day. Amen. Jesus is literally going to come on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. He's only got 7 days. He's not going to create an extra one. Thursday and Friday or Saturday, he's coming on a day. Could it be today is the day? We don't know the day, because the reason why I believe we don't know the day is what we would do is just fiddle around up to 2 or 3 hours before the day and then go to falsely calling upon him, and wouldn't mean anything. We'd go to hell anyway. What you got to understand is he could come at any moment for you and I. But it is a glorious day when he comes. And you'll know what you've done with your day as to how you feel about him coming on that day. If you don't want him to come on that day, there's something wrong with that day. The Bible talked about his glorious appearing. It'll be a glorious day when Jesus comes. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said on the Isle of Patmos, even so, come quickly. The thing that I hear the saints say, they've got their days straight, is they're looking for the Lord to come. Looking for Him. The consolation, looking for Him. Now listen, He's coming. He said He's coming. Said He'd come first time, He'd come first time. He said He's coming second time, He's coming the second time. And you need to be ready. Had an old fellow I pastored back in the mountains of North Carolina, I loved him, Charlie Ward. Couldn't read his name in boxcar letters. He learned the Bible by listening to Alexander Scorby on tape. And he listened to it time and time again, and he knew his Bible. And loved that word. I went up to his house one day where there's some Jehovah's Witnesses had just been there trying to tell him there wasn't no hell. That didn't work out too good. They was on fire when they come out. And they didn't come back. But I was sitting at his house in a chair, and he's sitting in his on his couch right there. And there's a door right where that door is, and had a window in it. Pretty good sized window. And in his mountain way, he looked at me. He said, "Preacher, you see that mountain right there?" I said, "Yes, sir, Charlie, I do." He said, "Every day I look out at that mountain, and," he said, "if there's a cloud coming across, I look to see if he's on it." I said, "You probably living pretty close if you're looking for him ever cloud that's headed in your direction." And believe me, Charlie was looking for him. What a glorious day that we're going to experience someday when Jesus comes to call the redeemed. Blood washed has been sung about tonight. On someday, to give us a good day, a glad day, a gracious day, I'm here to tell you He meant for us on the days to have a good day, a glad day, a gracious day, and a glorious day. That is possible for all of the children of God. It all happens on a day. Everything's ever happened to you. God created a day for you to be born. Set aside some days for you to live. And there'll be a day when you're going to exit one way or another. But if you'll let Him have His way, let Him be in charge, let Him be the center of your life, you can have the days you need to have. But my last thought of this category of days is what I call a serious day. Serious day. And again, this could be any given day. It's James chapter number 4, verse 13 through 15. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Vanisheth away. You should say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Every day is a serious day, because every day you're one breath and one heartbeat away from eternity. Amen. And who knows what's going to bring that about. But I promise everybody sitting here, including myself, there's going to be a day in which either the Lord's going to come or you're going to leave this world and went one way or another. Every day is a serious day to contemplate and think and say, am I ready? Am I ready if I should leave out today? There should be an appreciation of our days. We should never take our days for granted, because all of our days add up to eternity. It'll take us to eternity. But any given day can be a serious day. Everyone was shocked just recently about that singing group. And we knew some that connections to that. It's a shock that in just one day, all their lives were ended. Now, I don't know anybody's heart, but from their testimony and so on, they were ready for that day, and that's what counts. Never any funeral any harder to preach than to preach someone's funeral that's been caught by surprise and they wasn't ready. And you could not get up and make preparation and say, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, you stutter for words. But on the other hand, I preached on many a funeral of saints that were ready and knew God, because they had availed this salvation was offered. They made themselves ready for His coming on whatever level. They let Him have control of the lives. Christ was center of it. And I'm going to tell you, we had a hallelujah, glorious time preaching somebody's funeral.
Yes. Amen.
That was ready for that day.
Yes.
And I certainly want to be ready for that day, don't you? Because everything from birth to death is going to happen on a day, and how serious that is for us to contemplate. That Jesus came into this world, gave His life, died, buried, and rose again the third day, so that you on one day could give your heart to Him and prepare for all eternity. And He said, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, He created 7 days. He allotted 7 days. And everything in your life that's going to happen will happen in those 7 days at some time. So God has given us plenty of time to be ready. But it's not just about being ready for tomorrow. It's about being able to enjoy today, to be able to have a good day and a glad day and a gracious day and a glorious day today. You don't have to be miserable today. Let Him rule the day. Let Him be in charge. Let Him be center of your life. And I'm going to tell you something. You can enjoy the day.